Father, again, we do thank you for the privilege we have of gathering together as your people. Lord, what a privilege it is, Lord, and what makes it a privilege is that you, Lord, have promised to meet with us. Lord, we want to believe what you've told us, Lord. We want to grasp and embrace that which you have spoken to us, that when we gather together, Lord, you are there, and Lord, you delight to meet with your children. Lord, you brought us into being that we might spend time together, and it's so special when we gather as a church. Lord, you said that each one supplies something to the other, that if we weren't together, we would miss out. Here it is that as a body, we can hold the head, and from the head, all things flow. Lord, we thank you for that mystery of the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ. We thank you and we praise you. Father, I ask that you would speak to us. Lord, speak to me as we look into Romans again. Father, just teach us what it is we're to learn from this, that we could take away, just like we did from camp, Lord, that we can take away that which you want to make real in our life and deepen in our life and strengthen in our life, Father. Lord, we pray for Chris and his family. We pray for Fred and his family, and we ask your blessing upon them, and we thank you, Lord, for sending them to us. Lord, we just ask you to bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going back to Romans chapter 1. I've got three pages that I want to get through. I'm sure that terrifies you right there. We're going to read today 18 to the end of the chapter. We're going to concentrate basically on verses 24 and 25. However, we'll take in other, verses as well. If you need a Bible, it's under the table between the two doors. It's good to have one so you can follow along and see that I'm not lying or making up verses. Today, we're going to read and see that God will and has over time and at certain times given over a rebellious society into the hands of another. That God has given over whole societies into the hands of lawlessness. And the reason that's important is because that's what we're seeing today. Obviously seeing today in our culture and our society and our politics and whatever it is, we see that today in such a strong way. So we're going to read about it. That's why we're in Romans 1. I want to get back to Mark's gospel at some point, but we're in in Romans 1 because of that very reason that God gives over to something. We'll see what that is. God gives over a whole society to something. We will see that through these three headings, so I've got three headings and closing up with a fourth heading, we will see through these three headings what and how this all happens. So my three headings are, why did God give a people up, handed them over? Why did God do that? How did God give them up? How did he give them up? And then to what did God give them up? Okay? So why did God give up a people? How did God give up the people? And to what did he give them up? And then we're going to end with the proper response to seeing those things. So let's read Romans 1, 18 through the end of the chapter. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and godhood, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile or vain in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent and proud and boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And there's a lot in there, and you can see the degradation, how things go downhill. You can see the rebellion of man. You can see the response that God has towards man. It's all there for us to see. We've read a lot of verses. We covered a lot of things. We're basically going to try to cover verses 24 and 25, and again, we'll move on around those verses. Now, you probably saw as we read through them, we saw a phrase three times, and I've mentioned it before. The phrase is found in verse 24, verse 26, and verse 28. The phrase is, God gave them up. That means at one time they weren't given up. At one time God had a hold on them. They were His. But at some point God gave them up. That's what it says. God gave them up. This collapse begins with an increased tolerance for sexual immorality. That's in verse 24. Look at verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies. That was the first step when it says that God gave them up. It was to this. In verse 26, it's repeated again. There is the celebration of homosexuality and other perverted sexual things in verse 26. So it went from promiscuity to homosexuality, and then verse 28 is the third drop, then a complete loss of both logical and moral sense. They've lost those things that are even, they don't make sense. It doesn't add up. 2 and 2 becomes 7. It's weird. So in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, a reprobate mind, a mind that failed the test. So something's happened to them intellectually. They are sold on what they believe. To them it is completely logical. But to a person who has not been given up by God, it is absolutely the opposite of logical. It is illogical. It is not natural. It is unnatural. But to them, it is completely that way. So those are the three steps: sexual promiscuity, homosexuality, and then the mind given up to believe all these things and embrace all these things. And that third step includes all of them, all three of them, because of the mind embraces them all. So that's what we've seen there. The term God gave them up is spoken in a judicial sense. It's as though if we pictured a courtroom, okay, and the human race, a society is in this courtroom, and God is there, and God is the judge. And this group has found to be rebellious. They will not confess their sin. They will not repent of their sins. They harden their heart towards God and what the truth is and what the scriptures say. So it's finished. It's over. And God then tells the jailer, take this society and hand them over. Or he takes one of the policemen, whoever it is, the sheriff, the deputies, take this person and hand them over to the jailer. He's handed them over. That's what it is, a judicial picture that they've been handed over to someone who is an authority. We know who is the prince of the power of the air. We know who is the God of this world, and they've been handed over. God is still over all. The enemy's only working on God's command, and he turns them over. So that's how the term is used. It expresses the reality that God has delivered over a society to sentencing and to judgment, to give into the hands of another, to give over into one's power or use. They now are released. They now hand it over. And that's what's happened to society, and it's sad, sad, sad. It's heartbreaking to know that this society, this nation, God is handing over this nation to another, and it is not him, and it is not good, and it is bad, and it is filthy. So we have the three headings. Why did God give them up? Because to be given up by God is a serious thing. I mean, there's nothing worse, to be given up. Why did God give them up? That's our first question. In verse 23, if you drop your eyes there, here comes some of the answers. Verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. This is what they did. It says in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, those who suppress the truth. They knew something of the truth, and they refuse to acknowledge it. They're too proud. They're too arrogant to acknowledge the simple truth, the foolishness of God. They can't believe in a God. Instead of the truth of God, mankind chooses to embrace a self-fabricated lie. We came from a speck of slime. We came from a big bang. We came from a fallen asteroid. We came from whatever. But for sure, it's not a divine God who we owe allegiance to. For sure, it isn't that. And when Darwinism came into the world, it was more corruptible than anyone ever imagined, because it gave the excuse of an evolutionary thing that God did not create. If things just evolved on their own, you don't need God. You can just make it on your own. It seeps through everything, through the thought of man, that there is no God. We don't need a God if there was a God, because we can do it on our own. We were once lizards or whatever it is you want to be, and now we're the pinnacle of creation, and we did that by evolutionary purposes. Darwinism cursed the human race. He regretted it on his deathbed. He regretted even writing about it, even coming up with it. Anyway, so that's what's happened. To them, a lie has become, to those who have been given over, a lie has become an irrefutable truth. And the truth is an irrefutable lie. So what was the truth is now a lie. You want to talk about Genesis to them? Ha, ha. You're an idiot. You know, you need to grow up into this 20th or 21st generation. You're ignorant. You can't believe the Bible. It's great history, some history. It's stories. It's fables. Don't believe it. And what was the truth has become a lie, and that which is a lie has become the truth. This is what's happened. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. I'll read it for you. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They say what is wrong is right, and what's right is wrong. The scriptures are wrong, they're right. What is darkness, what is purity is not purity to them. What they do is liberation, and it's so perverted. It's just everything's flipped upside down. And again, this is why God has given them up. Men have rejected God's revelation of himself. They have substituted their own ideas and imaginations of God, which is not God at all, but an idol. They then worship their own creation. So man recognizes that there's something divine about creation. If we just focus on creation, or the human body, the human life, how vast it is. The DNA is it's unspeakable to explain it, and to explain it away of all things, to find a way to make it a lie and not the truth. But they have found a way to do it. They've rejected the revelation that God has given to every human being by nature. They've rejected it. Every civilization, regardless of how backwards they are, how heathen they are, they recognize that there is a creator, and then there must be a choice. If there is a creator who is over all things, do I bow to him or do I make him bow to me? And man has chosen to make that creator, which they disavow, they say he's not there, and they would have creation serve them. That's what they've done. They have done those things. They have rejected God's revelation of himself and substituted in God's place their own idea of what God should be. This is what's going on in this country. I can speak of other places, but since we live here, this is what's going on. God has been replaced. He's been taken down, and they've put in a different God. Now, it might not be worded that way, but boy, you touch their God, and you're going to find out you're in trouble. They get very riled up. The tolerant become instantly intolerant when you touch their God, that which they have put up. Here we see that man has suppressed the truth. That's verse 18. We read it. Man has suppressed the truth, and he has manifested and exposed the evil that is in his own heart. This is what has happened. They suppress the truth, and because of that, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Because of that, when they knew God through creation, they did not glorify him. That's verse 21. Look at it, verse 21. Because although they knew God, that doesn't mean they knew him personally, but they knew that there was a God. They knew that some ultimate being created. This didn't come just by Darwin knew something, but he refused to acknowledge it until it was too late, till it was long gone. Verse 21 again, because although they knew God, again, they knew that there was a God, they knew there was something superior that had created the order of the universe, the orbits of the planets, the solar system, someone, something created those things. Verse 21 again, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their hearts. They would not acknowledge, look at that. Although they knew God, they did not glorify him. This is what we're to do when we see and acknowledge that God is there. We glorify God. We live to glorify God. When we see something in nature, we glorify God. When we see a seed come up from the ground that we have planted, we don't take the credit for it. We glorify God for it. They didn't do that. They denied him. They were not thankful. They became futile in their thoughts. So again, this heading is, why did God give them up? This is why he did it. In man above everything else in creation, we are the pinnacle of God's creation. We are greater than a tree. We are greater than a whale. We are greater than a bald eagle. We are greater than a baby seal. We are greater than whatever, on and on. Man is the pinnacle of God's creation. He is the crowning of God's creation. And of all creation, that which is created that should glorify him the most. And why we were created, we were made in his image, that we would reflect his glory and we would give him glory. We are the ones who have rebelled. The mountains have never rebelled against God. They haven't done it. And this is what Psalm 104 is all about. You know, all of creation shows forth the glory of God. Yet the pinnacle, that is man, refuses to glorify him as a whole. Humankind, America, refuses to glorify God. And above all things, we should. In Psalm 104, you can look at it later, the psalmist shows how everything in creation manifests the glory of God by obeying God. I've read through it a couple times this week, Psalm 104. Again and again, something of nature responds to God and it obeys God. It's in its nature to obey God, but man alone does not obey God. They rebel against God. We want to be bigger than God. We want to be like Lucifer. Let's set our throne above the throne of God. Let me be God in my life. You shall not rule over me. I will not bow the knee. I'm a proud man or a proud woman, whatever it is. This is what they've done. Man alone does not do so. Because of this, David ends Psalm 104 with this verse. Let the sinners be consumed from the earth. He goes through the whole psalm talking about how everything obeys God. Gets to the end, let the sinners be consumed from off the earth, because they're in such stark contrast to all the other creation of God. This is what he says. All is in order under God except for humans. We're a bunch of stiff-necked rebels. That's who we end up being. The being meant to manifest God's glory above all other work of creation is the one who ultimately fails him and does not create him. Why did God give them up? Because of all of his creation. that which should glorify him the most and is most set and created to reflect him and glorifies him, refuses to glorify him, but takes the credit themselves or makes gods that they like instead of the God who is. Man has suppressed the truth in his attitude towards God. They worship and they serve the creature rather than the creator. They not only gave preference to the creation, but they actually, in the Greek, it would be that they passed by the creator, counting him not worthy of their approval. They're looking for a God when they realize, and whether we go back to Darwin or way back to whenever, when we come to this present day, when man discovers something that they realize, wow, this is beyond humankind, they say, well, it can't be God. They pass by God. They overlook God. They say, God is not worthy to be credited with this creation. I will not give him credit. This is what man does. They'd count him not worthy. They exchanged the truth of God. This is what we just read. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie when in their consciences they recognized the great being of creation. His attributes having cleanly been seen, that's what we read, they exchanged this truth and this reality and they invented a lie in their minds and on their tongues and in their actions. They created a lie to replace God. They exchanged it. This is what we read. They abandoned the true eternal creator and raised up in their vain minds things created to worship, thus robbing God of his worship. And in Exodus 34:14, it's mentioned at least five times in the scripture, it says God is a jealous God. You can push him so far and that's it. God is a jealous God. Exodus 34:14, our is a jealous God. You shall worship no other God. For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Three times in the verse it says God is a jealous God. And man has rejected God. He's done that. Why did God give them up? Well, there's all these reasons. Finally, in man's eyes, okay, God has failed their test. Because when they discover things, they've got to make a decision. Did God do it or was it happenstance? Let me figure it out. And they try God. They put him in the test. They test him. Let's see, I've heard about God, these dumb Christians, these conservatives, whatever. They give everything to God. Let me consider that. No, that's long enough. He didn't do it. It had to have been this had to have done it. And so God fails the test. Do you see that? God is put on the judgment seat and he fails the test. He's put in the balance and society has said God fails the test. Why did he give them up? Because they tried him. In fact, he tried them and they are given up. They think they gave up God. Well, the response is God will give them up. And so he's given them up. So in man's eyes, God has failed their test. He did not live up to or measure up to the standard that they had erected in their hearts of what God should be like. Because God should be just like them. And we do that. God should be just like me. Never measure God by us, by mankind. Measure him by the scriptures. Look into the scriptures. Who do the scriptures say God is? Measure him by the scriptures. God never measured up to their standard that they had erected in their hearts for God. For this reason, God gave them up. And he handed him over to the jailer. He's handed him over to them. Okay, you take him. I've handed him over. Because they slapped God in the face. They spit in his face. They denied him. They would not give him credit. They would not give him glory. They repressed his truth. They made his truth a lie. There's a whole multitude of things we've read in those verses of why God gave them up. How did he give them up? The next heading. How did they give them up? At a certain point, God had had enough. He lets go and he turns the people in society over to the sentence that they had passed upon themselves. By them rejecting God, they had put a sentence upon themselves that they are no longer worthy to be under God. I want to be under somebody else. Here, the wrath or the anger of God is manifested in the removal. This is a fearful thing. It says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a holy God. Here the wrath or the anger of God is manifested in the removal of his restraining grace, thus allowing a corrupt culture to continue headlong into deeper and deeper and deeper moral depravity and sin. Why? How did he give them up? He said, all right, I will remove my hand of restraint. See, men think they're in charge. We're not in charge of anything. We can't grow an inch. We can't live a day beyond what we're supposed to live. We can't take another breath unless God gives it to us. We're not in charge. We're not over anything in that sense. And this is what they've done. They've rejected God in so many different ways. But here again, they continue headlong because God has removed his hand of grace. I said this before for a long time. If God removed his grace from the earth, we would be dead in a month. China would blow up Russia. Russia would blow us up. Iran would do this, whatever. We'd be murdering. Look, the riots going on in mostly the coastal areas, robbing. We'd all be gone. In fact, if God removed his grace from us, we'd be killing each other. Sometimes we might do it with our tongues. Must be careful. But we would be. We don't understand that. The little bit of flicker of goodness that society has, it's only because God is holding sin down. The grace of God is keeping us straight. We don't get the credit. Mother Teresa wasn't naturally good. No one's naturally good. Jesus said that. No one is good but God himself. He said it to the rich young ruler. So this is what happened. Here the wrath of God is manifested in the removal of his restraining grace, thus allowing them to go into corruption. He said, all right, you think you're your own master? Let me show you. Boom, his hand is gone, and away they're gone. God removed his restraining hand of grace from their lives, which he is free to do. He has no obligation to confer his grace upon rebellious men. He has no obligation to refer his grace to anyone. For God will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. This is what he says in Romans 9. We don't deserve anything because we've all fallen short of the glory of God. God gives his mercy to those whom he will have mercy. Men choose to give God up. This is what they've done. They've chosen to give God up and put something else in his place, whether it's some kind of perverted sexuality or it's some type of an evolutionary thing or whatever it is, they've put someone else in God's place, and it's really them that they put there. God chose to give, or men chose to give God up. God then gave them up into the hand, the power, the sinful things that they preferred to God. Those lusts which had been restrained by the grace of God, their strength to restrain them, their strength to maybe not even recognize them, God lets them loose. The prison doors of our lust are open and there's no restraint, and men go into weird things. Do you see weird things happening? The restraint of God is gone. He's lifted his hand of grace, which once held them back. It's not just a change in society. It's the fact that God has removed his restraining hand because society will not acknowledge God. Get out of our schools. Get out of our courtrooms. Get out of our government buildings. Get out of our families. Get out of our marriages and denying the truth of God. And so, yeah, he removes his restraining hand. Again, this giving over is a judicial act, and the impurities, the uncleanness, this is important, the impurities and the uncleanness to which they plunged sprung from their own hearts. Okay, God didn't put them into that. It was already there. What's in the man's heart comes out. But God removed his restraining hand. So, okay, see what's in your heart. Perversion, homosexuality, all these things, abortion. These things are in the heart of man, to kill children, to kill whoever. They're there. God didn't put them there, but he removes his restraining hand and, oh, look what's in there. And now I got to justify what's in there, so I'll build a new God. I'll make my own 10 commandments, or 10 suggestions or whatever, 10 New Year's resolutions. But the impurities, the uncleanliness into which they were plunged, sprung from their own corrupt hearts. God gave them up to the uncleanness. This is what it says in the verse. God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their own hearts. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up. See, God also, they gave him up. Well, God also gave up them to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts. Where were the lusts? In the uncleanness? It wasn't in God. It was in their hearts. He said, okay, my restraining grace is gone. Enjoy. There you go. You're on your own. And this is what he's done. This is the seriousness of a rejected society, a society that God has given up. The jailer of their lives was uncleanness. The warden of their life is their lusts. And he's given them up to those things. They're gone. The abandonment came from divine justice. They were abandoned because of God's divine justice. But the effect of that abandonment, the result of that abandonment, came from the lusts and the corruptions of their own hearts. God quit restraining what's already in our hearts. Man, if God let us go, who knows what's in our hearts? Once in a while we get a glimpse of the trash that's in there. But God restrains us. God had no part. God had no part in their choice of corruption. It was already there. He had just restrained it, and he refused to restrain it anymore. This is the judgment we're under. It's a dark, dark, dark sentence. Third thing, to what did God give them up to? He gave them up to uncleanness. We'll look at this more. Uncleanness means impurity of lustful, luxurious, reckless behavior. Just free to do anything. Luxurious, lustful behavior. This is what uncleanness means. Uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Their sin is a consequence of his abandonment, which resulted due to their perversity and their rebellion. God gave them up unto dishonoring their bodies. That's what it says in verse 24. They dishonored their body. Sinning against our bodies is a dishonor to our body. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, it talks about fornication. That is any sexual activity that is outside the holy matrimony. That is outside of that is a fornication, regardless of who it's with. Whatever, it is fornication, and that's what they've been given over to. They dishonor and treat shamefully. They dishonor their bodies. Again, in 1 Corinthians 5, it talks about that every sin is outside of the body, but sexual sin is with the body, and they dishonored their body. You know that we're to honor our bodies. We are to honor our spouse's body. We are not to dishonor that. But when we move outside of the will of God and God's order of marriage and chastity, we then begin to dishonor our own bodies. Those who have dishonored God, if they do not repent, will soon dishonor their own bodies. That's what's happening. So here we have the three things again. Why did God give them up? Because they suppressed the truth. They would not believe the truth. They put it down and they put something up else for truth. They substituted a lie for truth. That's why he did it. How did he do it? Well, he removed his restraining hand of grace. To what did he give them up to? Lustful, uncleanness, sinful things. And it goes on and on and on. Who knows what the end of it is? Who knows where it's going? Conclusion then, if we look at verse 25, and we'll end with this. Verse 25. Who, this is the society, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. In Paul's heart at this point, the Creator is so vast to him. He is in such love with the Creator. When he says the Creator, he's speaking of Jehovah. He's speaking of Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. And he's so filled with God. When he says Creator, his heart is, as it were, melting to say Creator. He recognizes he's my Creator. He's the Creator of everything, but he's the one who gives me breath. He's the one who created his Son in me, who gave me new life. He's the one, and he is so elevated in the heart of Paul that this is what happens, that they serve the creature rather than the Creator, and then he has to say who is blessed forever. Paul can't stop with this wonderful eulogy. That's what the word blessed means. It means eulogy. It means to speak something good of someone. So that's what Paul says. He's got this great eulogy. Who is blessed forever. A term showing what it is to be a posture of the soul and the body towards God. Oh, to be blessed forever. My Creator, he is to be blessed forever. Have you blessed him today? Will we bless him this afternoon? Will we bless him tonight? Paul says, by the Spirit, to be blessed forevermore. Blessed means, again, to speak well of, to eulogize, to speak good of someone. God is to be spoken well of at all times. He is to be honored. He is to be adored. Nothing should ever be taken away from God. Nothing should be minimized. Whatever, if I can lift God up somehow, I must lift him up in my thought, in my actions, and how I perceive God should be handled, how God should be appreciated, how God should be worshipped. We need to eulogize. We need to bless him in that. Blessed by us, reverenced in all things, cherished and appreciated forever. This is what Paul is saying. We should never speak of God but with profound respect and honor, praise and thanksgiving. Paul could not restrain himself. Because after he says, the Creator who is blessed forever, amen. Paul says, amen. Yeah, that's my creator. Yes, he should be blessed forevermore. Amen, Paul. He has to preach to himself in his letter. Amen. This is who God is. He's excited. And he's to be worshipped and praised forever. Eulogized forever. And that word means forever and ever. It means into perpetuity. There's never a ceasing to it. It's the word A-I-O-N in the Greek. And it's used a lot of different ways. Well, not necessarily different ways. Always in perpetuity. Whether it's hell, Gehenna, or whether it's heaven, our glory, or here, that he should be praised. It's forever. That's the way the word is used. We must not put our ideas or our difficulties or our thoughts or our feelings before God's revelation of who he is in the scriptures. Into the scriptures, into the scriptures, into the scriptures. We must be pleased to limit ourselves of what God has said about himself in and through the scriptures. He might reveal something to us in a private as we commune with him, but it will never contradict with the scriptures. If it does, you've heard the wrong voice for sure. So let us examine ourselves and make sure that we are worshiping the God who is, the God who scripture reveals, putting him first, blessing him now in everything that we do, and then blessing him forevermore. The God who is. Blessed be God forever, our creator. Let him be blessed forever. Amen. Let's close in prayer, and then Paul's going to give us a financial report. Father, there's so much in there that I've crammed in and rushed through. And Lord, but speak to our hearts. Let us take away, Lord, let us see clearly what's happened to this society, that it was them who refused God, who suppressed the truth, who put a lie in place of what is the truth and called the truth a lie, and the lie, they called it a truth. Lord, that which is good has been called evil, and what is evil has been called good, Lord. This is what's happened, Lord. This is why they've been, handed over, as it were, given over, Lord. And Father, keep us from that, Lord. Help us to pray for those who we feel are in that situation, Lord, that some might be saved, being plucked from the fire. Lord, we thank you. And Father, thank you that we can bless you forever. This is what we should do. Our great creator, that he should be blessed forever and ever. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.